sports, politics, life, Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Well, it is great to be back home and to be back in my home studio producing Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Monday's podcast was a little bit like a bad rental car. You know, you go out on a business trip or vacation or something and you rent a car. And it's just not as comfortable or as convenient as the car you're used to driving at home. You're trying to figure it out. You don't know where all the knobs and buttons are and everything's all kind of goofy. Doing that podcast on Monday from that hotel room in Austin was a little disheveling for me. I just didn't like the way it sounded. So we'll iron that out. We'll figure some things out as we go down the road and be able to do some things like that. We sure appreciate those of you that did hit the play button. And some of you are not audiophiles and it doesn't really matter to you. And you'll say and send me really nice emails. Oh, it was just fine. But for me, it was all just kind of echoey and yucky. So not a fan. I was not a fan of Monday's podcast, but that is okay. We are back in studio. And we got a big edition of the podcast right now. Our lead sponsor today is Ideal Health KC. That is Dr. Kip Van Camp at Ideal Health in Shawnee, letting your body's tissue and blood work for you. Regenerative medicine is where it's at, folks. If steroids and shots and surgeries and procedures have not worked for you, maybe your body can work for you. IdealHealthKC.com. In fact, we're planning on having Dr. Van Camp back on the podcast maybe sometime in May. If you would like to send me an email with a question that you would have for Dr. Van Camp, when I have him on the podcast, we will ask him your questions. They can be specific questions about something that you have without your name attached to it. I'm more than happy to do this with no first name, no name at all. If you have a question for Dr. Van Camp you would like to know about regenerative medicine, about an ailment or something that you have or a family member or a loved one has, I love to get the emails and ask our guests the questions that you send in. So shoot those over to me, Kevin at kkhasissues.com, and we'll get those up for Dr. Van Camp when he joins us on the podcast next month from IdealHealthKC.com. We begin today with something that I have not spent a lot of time on here, and that is the Trump trials. I've mentioned a few times that my mom will ask me, now, which trial is it that's this and which trial? And I said, Mom, you know, I'm not even following them that closely because they're so ridiculous. They're getting tossed out. Every time they get appealed and go to another court says this is a sham. I think we all know what's going on and what they're trying to do in an election year to Donald Trump. Everybody knows this. That's not a question. The question is, in any one of these, will there be a bear trap somewhere that snaps closed on his ankle and keeps Donald Trump from doing what he needs to do to become president of the United States? Is there a loophole? Is there minutia? Is there some statute somewhere or something somewhere that he could get caught up in? Could he break judges' orders and slip up and say something publicly that could get him in real trouble and maybe get him sent off to jail or something of this nature? I'm not a legal scholar, so I don't know. The whole thing just seems preposterous to me, but I was watching on Monday as the Trump trial brought by Alvin Bragg in Manhattan is essentially this. A lawyer named Michael Cohen, you've heard the name before, received payments from Donald Trump to take care of something with a woman named Stormy Daniels. These are all names that you've heard. Alvin Bragg is saying this is a felony, that this was hush money, that he committed a crime in doing this, even though the payments were made to a lawyer who was handling it all. And it's been many, many years ago. Alvin Bragg is saying that Trump falsified records in relation to this and committed a felony, which is interesting because falsifying a record or doing something in bookkeeping would be considered a misdemeanor. If this is a misdemeanor, there cannot be a trial. The statute of limitations is long gone. So we literally, if you dig into the deep, dark parts of this case, what you learn is no crime has been named by Alvin Bragg. He says it's falsifying records, but he does not name anywhere what the felony is. It doesn't state, hey, it was this payment to this person on this date, therefore a crime was committed because Trump knew that he was breaking law when he made this payment. It's never stated in anything they're doing. So you know from the jump this thing is an absolute sham, because if they name the crime and the crime is a misdemeanor, there is no trial. The statute of limitations is gone. So what they've done is They've said he's falsified records, and they're just going to drag this trial out. It's a very weak trial, very weak. They're going to drag it out and hope that because they're in Manhattan, that they'll get a lopsided jury of 12 that will convict Trump. 12% of the voters in Manhattan voted for Trump in 2020, 12%. So the chances of getting one or two jurors on this jury that voted for Trump, even that's not a great chance. You're hoping for one at this point, one strong juror on this case that will just hold out, hold out, hold out, and lead it to be a hung jury because it would have to be unanimous. I can't even believe that a former president, and one of the things that really bothers me here is just watching this and seeing what it is that they're doing. I can't believe that this is happening in this country to a former president, that this ridiculous stuff where they had 92 prospective jurors in the courtroom on Monday, 50 of them were released on the first day because they said they couldn't be fair and impartial or unbiased. And they were sent on their way for many reasons. And they're gone. And finding the jury is a weird process because in any jury, you have two types of prospective jurors. You have people that don't want to be there and are trying to get thrown out. And you have others that want to be on the jury for some reason, desperately, and will try to fool you to get on the jury. The dangerous part of all this is, what if they don't find a juror or two that's fair? What if it literally is just 12 people from Manhattan that hate Donald Trump, that sit around all day and watch CNN and read the New York Times and hate the man and think he's a criminal? You've seen these people. You've heard them talk. You know how wacky these people are. You know who I'm talking about. There is a chance there's 12 of them on this jury. And if that happens, the law doesn't matter. None of this matters. Nothing else matters. You've seen these people. You know who they are. The law will not apply. It won't matter at all. What the Trump defense team in this particular case is hoping is that at some point it will be brought within the case that this is all a misdemeanor, that anything that may have happened, that the jury should be considering, you know, whether this was a misdemeanor or a felony or whatever, and give them the option of convicting him for a misdemeanor that the statute of limitations is expired on. Therefore, there's nothing. That's just what they would decide. So there's a lot of ways it can go. This is absurd on its face. We all know this is absurd. And we're watching it play out with a former president of the United States. And if you take only one point away from this podcast today, we're looking at this Judge Mershon, who has said Trump cannot be next week in front of the Supreme Court. Supreme Court is hearing. They're having a hearing concerning Trump and legalities involving a different case. And this judge is not going to allow Trump to be at the Supreme Court next Thursday. And it appears at this time, although he's not ruled, Mershon is not, because it's next month, it appears he's not going to let Donald Trump go to his son Barron's graduation on a Friday in May. That's what, when the American people see this, you have to know what's going on. You're not going to let a former president go to his son's high school graduation because you're working with him on something that they can't name the crime, because if they named it, it would be a misdemeanor and it would get thrown out. They literally can't name the crime. They can't name it, because if they do, it will be seen as a misdemeanor and it has to be thrown out because of the statute of limitations. And this judge is going to keep him from his son's graduation. The big question that I want you to, and the big picture thing from this podcast today, and this one really bothers me because I like the man. I like the person. I thought he was a terrific president for about 5 years. And then it got off the rails. And I think we have learned since his presidency that he is more left than we wanted. And he respects the office of the presidency. He has remained quiet for many, many years about a lot of different things. And I don't know how he can stay quiet on this. Where is George W. Bush? Because he is an accepted part of the left. The media on the left have forgiven him mostly for being a Republican president, because certainly he's 1,000 times better than Trump. His daughter's working in the media for a leftist organization. Where is George W. Bush, and exactly what impact would it have in the media, in this country, in these trials, in this election year, if George W. Bush sat down and did a real interview even with a leftist, and said, look, I'm not a fan. I wouldn't be a president like Trump. I don't act like Trump. I don't talk, whatever. But this is outrageous that this is happening in the United States of America. George W. Bush is basically trying to etch into stone for history his reputation, his legacy as a president of the United States, as one that supported things that are truly patriotic and American. Folds of honor, all of his military charities, service, dignity. He's attached to all of these things. They're right in the wheelhouse. If you take Trump out of the equation, okay, if it's John Smith on all these trials and not Donald J. Trump, don't you think George W. Bush would be saying this is outrageous? This is too far? Of course, there was Bush v. Gore in a very close election, and he went through some very similar things, but nothing leading into an election like this. This is third world country stuff. And I don't know why I keep coming back to George W. Bush on all of this and thinking I'm really sad and just sorely disappointed that this is a man who could potentially move the needle. So could Barack Obama, but we don't expect him to do that. Barack Obama's as much behind this as anybody. Bill Clinton's on board. He doesn't care. They just want to win an election. They don't care what happens to Trump. They don't care what happens to the American system. They want to win an election. But George W. Bush is still so mad at Trump for beating his brother Jeb in a presidential election that he can't step up and say, as a former president and American patriot, this is all wrong. Hey, I could be nuts. I think it would carry some real weight. I think George W. Bush is a person that most Americans, if we looked at polling and stuff, would say, there's an honest man filled with dignity and integrity. And if he says something about this, doesn't that carry more weight than Trump stepping in front of a microphone or the pundits on TV or the silence of all the prosecutors or whatever? I don't think Trump needs George W. Bush's endorsement to win the White House. That's not really what I'm talking about here. I'm just like, couldn't there be a voice in the middle? And isn't George W. Bush the voice in the middle in this country? Isn't he one that most Americans would look at and say, well, there's a guy in the middle. There's a guy in the middle. And he's saying, this is really wrong. Where is the man? So disappointing. Not quite as disappointing as somehow America's anti-Semitism. We have heard for a lot of years now, especially that conservative white people are anti-Semites, that they hate Jews, they hate Israel, they hate all these other things. I'm like, I don't remember this. I don't know this. I've not seen this. I've never heard anyone, anyone in my life ever bring it up. I don't ever remember a single person bringing up something about somebody Jewish and not liking them because of their faith. I'm unaware of this. Now, maybe I've lived a sheltered life. I don't know. I'm unaware. But I am now aware, since Hamas attacked Israel and slaughtered those innocent people at a music festival, and Israel retaliated somehow on college campuses across America, we're teaching young people to be pro-Palestinian terrorists supporters. And now we're getting protests all over the country, and there's a lot of white people. Not all, but there's a lot of white people. They fit into two categories, from what I can tell, looking at the video of all these protests. They appear to be spoiled rich white kids at elite colleges, or really old white people with white hair that were probably marching in the 60s. That's who they sort of look like to me. You know, remember the anti-war people from the 60s and 70s? Just anti-war, anti-war, anti-war? Well, I didn't hear him say anti-Hamas. I didn't see him demonstrate when all those people in Israel were killed. And now we have demonstrations on Monday at O'Hare Airport, where they locked down and shut down the entrance to O'Hare Airport in Chicago. The Golden Gate Bridge was closed down. Some pro-Palestinian Hamas supporters protesting in Florida. Well, that had a different ending. In Florida, they scraped them off the street, hauled them off to the side, chained them up, essentially. Put them in paddy wagons and locked them up. I like that. One Israel expert that I saw on Monday said of the anti-Israeli movement in this country, quote, "This is a wave of anti-Semitism we've never seen in this country before," unquote. And I don't know how you don't agree with that. I've never seen this. I've never heard of this. When this happened on October 7th, when Hamas launched those paratroopers in there and they gunned all those people down and did what they did, I mean, I just assumed this was a 99.9% issue in America, that even American citizens who are of Middle Eastern descent would say, wow, that's wrong. Going into a music festival and slaughtering people is wrong. I thought that. I didn't know this existed in our country. I mean, I'm literally learning something that I had no idea existed in the United States. Now, we've heard about the different pockets of places like Dearborn, Michigan, some places in Minnesota. Upper Midwest seems to be a big deal. Most of these people that are here over the generations have come through the Canadian border, apparently. And there is a big pro-Palestine and Hamas presence in Canada. And it's infiltrated our country. And these wackos are trying to close things down by demonstrating in the streets. I don't think that's going to win over very many hearts and minds of people in the United States. I think you've got your group of people, whatever that is, whether it's 1%, 5%, 10% of the population that is embedded deeply into these colleges and universities that somehow support Palestine and Hamas against the Israelis. And now we're watching Iran launch over 300 drones and rockets into Israel on Sunday. We're watching all this, and you're telling me I'm supposed to take a look at protesters in my country that support Palestine, which isn't a place, Hamas, which is a terrorist group, Iran, who I've never liked and never will. I'm supposed to support your cause over the Israelis. That's your sales pitch in the United States of America today. And for some reason, the media is accepting this on the left, and politicians on the left are embracing this. And these are the people that called people like me an anti-Semite, and I've had people think in my life for years that I'm Jewish because of my name. It doesn't bother me. Somebody thinks I'm Jewish, I couldn't care less. It really doesn't. Wow. This melting pot is messed up, folks. It is really messed up. These demonstrations are bad. It's the lowest of the low. And I know some of you are going to send me emails and say, I need to reconsider some of this stuff. I can't. I'm sorry. On October 7th, I saw what happened. They came floating in with automatic weapons and shot up concert goers in Israel. They're terrorists. I stand with Israel, and that's that. Period. End of statement. All right, our episode today is brought to you by our friends at McConnell & Associates. McConnell & Associates is, well, it's pretty simple. Wherever you walk, park, or play, you've been around McConnell & Associates work. They do all kinds of asphalt, paving and repairs, concrete work, grading, drainage, pavement maintenance services, parking lot construction, striping, you name it, pickleball courts, tennis courts in your neighborhood. They work with HOAs. If you're on your HOA board and you're going to be redoing some concrete work around your neighborhood pool or your tennis courts or pickleball courts, McConnell Associates would love the opportunity to work with you. Call Bart at 816-215-1973. Or the best way to get to their website is go to the KK list. TheKKList.com for McConnell & Associates website. We'll direct you right there by going to the KK list. You see their blue and yellow barricades all over town. If you've walked in Loose Park, you've walked on their trails. Walk all over these guys, McConnell & Associates. My buddy Bart over there at 816-215-1973. Aspen Wealth Management. Is Aspen the place for you? AspenWealth.com is the website. President and founder Trevor Holsinger was on KKHI. I guess it's been about a month ago now. He specializes in financial planning, investment management, taxes, and insurance. He's your personal financial concierge. and even works with corporate retirement plan management for your company. If you'd like to make a switch, or if you still have an old 401k or IRA from a previous position and you haven't rolled it over into something in your name, there are real tax advantages possible for you if you contact Trevor Holsinger. Any of these things, or if you just have a question, Trevor says call him. And he'll speak to you free on the phone and maybe answer a question or two that you may have. 913-491-0500. AspenWealth.com. And Bstock.net in Olathe, featuring 85-inch Samsung televisions for just $699. That's crazy. 85-inch televisions are the rage. It's cool. If you got the space for it, they're great. It changes everything. Samsung TU7000 85-inch, now just $699 at Bstock.net. They've got all kinds of Apple products. MacBook Pros, everything under the sun Apple, including accessories, is at Bstock.net. You can order online no matter where you live, or you can drive right to their warehouse in Olathe at 14680 South Flaming Road. So something's going on with the Kansas City Star. And it's really growing now. I off the cuff mentioned a couple times on previous podcasts that I'm starting to get surveys from them because I am a subscriber. I need it for resources, for material, for news going on, whatever, for the podcast. And I started to get pop-up questions, and they were questions in nature of whether or not I was conservative or liberal. They wanted to know about me. And I didn't respond to them because you have to go into some Google platform or something and do it, and I just don't sign up for all those things. If it was just a straight response, I would have been happy to. But when it says, okay, sign up for this and do it this, no. So I'm out. But it kept happening. And then Patrick Toohey, who was on the podcast a few weeks ago from the Show Me Institute, was hired by them to write a weekly column. He's a huge conservative and a brilliant writer, and he now writes a weekly column, an opinion piece for the Star. And I've been watching some of their coverage, and their website every day basically now is stories about food and sports and some news sprinkled in there here and there. They've done some things. They'll have some Sunday essays. They're still liberal stuff there. It's not that it's gone. It will be there. It's just not as in your face as it has been. I think personally this is in response to reaction they got from a lot of their subscribers, because their subscribers are older and they would tend to be more conservative. And I think they're saying, we better equal this thing out or we are done as a business. And so I'm looking at the Star over the last couple of days, and I'm noticing lots of food stories, lots of sports stories. And I see the lead opinion piece on the left side column is a headline that says this, quote, conservatives have it right. Down with equity, embrace equality of opportunity instead. And it's written by David Masto, who is called their opinion correspondent, which means he works for the parent company and is probably not in Kansas City. It's not a Kansas City specific story. But he's written a brilliant piece that said, yeah, I was part of this newspaper chain and they came in with this equity stuff. And at first I was open to it. And I was like, that's fair. And then I kept doing training and training and training and kept going through it. I'm like, this is wrong, wrong, wrong. You're trying to create an unfair playing field because you think the previous playing field was unfair and that is equality or equity. And he argues that's exactly the wrong thing we should be doing. We just need equal opportunity instead, not an equal outcome, equal opportunity. And may the best person get the job. May the best person get promoted. Whether you're male, female, black, white, religious standing, doesn't matter. Sexual preference, who cares? The best person should be hired and the best person should be promoted. And he argues as a Marine, I'm like, this is in every one of their newspapers across the country. And I just thought that was great. And right below it, here's another story. January 6th story explaining the Supreme Court hearing that I think is this week. Supreme Court is having a hearing on obstruction being used in the January 6th cases. If you recall, we've got some people in Kansas and Missouri that are in jail right now that were convicted of obstruction at the Capitol on January 6th with an official proceeding, which was the certification of the vote. They used a 1992 law from Enron trials where Enron had committed paper crimes, bookkeeping crimes, paper crimes, fraud for money. And federal statutes were then written in place to prevent those paper crimes from happening and the punishment to be more severe than had been prior to Enron. That's what those were about. The people who've been convicted of obstruction on January 6th, like, I didn't obstruct anything. And they used a law that brought Enron down against me because of paper crimes. So they've got lawyers arguing in front of the Supreme Court, and the legal scholars believe the Supreme Court will support that, and all of these J6ers still in jail on obstruction will be let go, that this law will be declared by the Supreme Court to be paper crimes, completely different crimes than physical obstruction of a proceeding. And this is how they've misused this system, attacking January 6th people, whatever. But here's the Kansas City Star writing this story, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, dang, this thing is honest. This story's legit. It's saying, no, this was Enron. This was a paper crime. Here's what they're arguing. The Supreme Court will balance this. And it was basically putting forth the facts in a way that were completely fair about what may happen and about what's previously happened. And I'm just thinking to myself, what's going on here at the Star? They used to write headlines that would be conservative Supreme Court, you know, Mueller's possibility of freeing January 6th thugs, you know, something like that. But that isn't what they did. And it's not what they're doing. Something's going on, folks. It's good. It's good. What it is the marketplace responding. It just is. And these liberals that run these outfits don't understand that they're in such a small percentage of people in this country. They're not even like, not even Democrat voters. It's a wing of the Democrat voters that are these people. And it's a small percentage. It can't be 10% of our population running all this media, the whole Democrat Party, all of the offices, every inch of the federal government and our teachers' unions. We know where these people are. We know what they control, but they are not in step with American people and American voters. And when it comes down to, are you subscribing to my paper or still reading this? What they want to put out there every day won't work as a business model. It has no chance of working. I sense right now, I sense that the Kansas City Star has figured that out. Another week or two, I'll be railing about some story they've written and how wacky and dirty and dishonest it is. They'll do that. But it's sure, you can't help but notice that when you go to their website, it's all food stories and sports stories. They're clearly trying to get click traffic. They're clearly just trying to keep you on their site and keep you subscribed, which is good. That's good. I applaud them for that, for at least seeing it and understanding that it's time for a change. That's pretty cool. On to sports, brought to you today by the Finch Knife Company, now presenting the Hellfire Pocket Knife at Finch Knife Co. Online at finchknifeco.com. You could pick these up at Shields in Overland Park as well. It is a beautiful new knife. The Hellfire, you're going to love it. Remember, if you have a company and you do corporate gifts, or things for your employees. We've had several people that listen to the podcast that have companies that have ordered 20, 30, 40 different knives and use them as corporate gifts. They're a great idea. You can put your logo right on the blade. They'll laser engrave your logo on the blade of the knife. It's a wonderful thing to give somebody because you know what a lot of these corporate gifts are or employee gifts are. They've all been given before. Everybody's got a Tervis tumbler. We've all got one. How many people got a really cool pocket knife as a corporate gift? Give it some thought. FinchKnifeCo.com. Tickets for less. The Royals are coming home this weekend and into next week. 7-game homestand, I believe. It's going to be Baltimore and Toronto coming in, and the Royals are playing great. We'll be getting to that in just a moment. They're just playing great. TicketsForLess.com is your place for Royals tickets. Always, always, always use the promo code KKHI, and you will save between 5 and 15% on any Royals ticket purchase. And don't forget to enter the free sweepstakes at TicketsForLess.com with MJ Melendez. If you log on to TicketsForLess.com/contests, you can sign up for the MJ Melendez home run contest, where when he hits a home run, they draw a name from somebody who signed up. It's free, no cost. They'll give you $50 in tickets and an autographed baseball every time he hits a home run. Right there, TicketsForLess.com/contests. And Window World, simply the best for less. American made windows, siding, and doors. People ask me all the time, do they really do siding? They do. Yes, Window World does siding and doors. If this spring or summer is the time for you to redo that, log on to their website, take a look at their product line, make the call, have them out to your house. An expert with no pressure will come give you all the information you need to make the decision that's right for you. They will walk away with a handshake and say, call us if you're interested. 816-799-0820. That's 816-799-0820. The official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs. Window World is online at windowskansascity.com. Well, what can you say about the Royals? It's been pitching, and was pitching again on Monday night. Seth Lugo goes to 3-0 on the year. It was his fourth start. He's allowed three runs in four starts, 18 in the third innings. The Royals lead baseball in starter innings pitched. They lead baseball in walks and hits per inning pitched, number one. They have the best starting pitching by a mile. They've got a couple of guys in the bullpen that have struggled, but it looks like MacArthur and maybe a couple of others. Some arms are pretty good, and they may get the bullpen. If they can just get it to where it's average, they're going to win a lot of games. We learned on Monday that Salvador Perez is day-to-day with his groin, so we'll expect him to get back in a couple of days. Vinny Pasquantino broke a scoreless tie with a 427-foot home run. The Royals are 11-6. I mean, they're 5-0 against the White Sox, so we got to be careful here. That means they're 6-6 against the rest of the league. So let's not get too excited. This schedule has been very favorable for the Royals. A lot of home games and a lot of White Sox. And they've got a very real chance with two more wins the next 2 days to go 7-0 against the White Sox to start the year. And that's a big deal because the White Sox stink, but they will get better. Everybody finds their way to 50 wins. Okay, the White Sox are terrible right now. And the Royals getting a chance to reel off seven against them is a major thing this early in the year. The Royals also have another long homestand coming up. And they've only lost those first two games against the Twins. Then they've just won them all after that. They beat the White Sox. They beat the Astros. They got the Orioles and Toronto coming in. Good teams. So it's not going to be easy. The Royals are going to have a losing streak somewhere this year. This is not some slam dunk. But, man, how fun is it to watch them go out and shut out the opponent? That is three shutouts this year for the Royals in 17 games. Now, why is that important? That alone is the kind of thing that you do and you sound like and look like a playoff team, a 90-win team. But then find me a team that does that. Three shutouts, leading the league in starting pitching. Oh, and by the way, five of their 17 games, they've scored 10 runs or more. That doesn't happen, folks. I asked Jessica the other night after they won their fourth game of the season with 10 runs or more. I think they scored 11 that night or 12. I said, she's like, this is crazy. They just keep doing this. I said, yeah, how long do you think it will be before they do another one? The odds would be it could be 20 or 30 more games before they score 10 again. That's what the odds would be. It was like 3 days and they did it again. We're sitting there at the pool at the resort in Texas and I'm looking at my phone. I said, look at this. Bobby Witt is going off. The Royals are going crazy. They got 11 again. They scored 9 in the first. She goes, well, I guess it wasn't 20 games. I said, no, ma'am. It was like three. It's a wicked combination. Now, they only scored two on Monday night. I don't think the Royals are a great offensive team, but there are days they are. There are days when they're punching Judy hitters get on base and the big boys bop it. And that's going to be big numbers. When Kyle Isbell's on, and Michael Garcia gets on, and Bobby goes big fly. That's three. It's going to happen. Salvi's going to hit a bunch of big flies. Pasquantino's going to hit a bunch of them. Hunter Renfro's got a couple. They got some guys that can hit it now. Velasquez, they got some guys that will hit some home runs. Of course, that leads to games where you don't score much because you've got home run hitters in your lineup, which produces strikeouts. But how are we sitting here with a 106 loss team that only brought back seven players from a year ago? They're 11-6, and their pitching staff has three shutouts, and the offense has five games where they've scored 10 or more. This is nuts, folks. This is, again, they blew two games early. That was sickening. This really, what the statistics show is the Royals are not 11-6. What the numbers show is they're a 13-4 baseball team. That's what it shows. What it all shows is they are dominant, and they are just going to be really hard to beat every night. Every single night that they get starting pitching, the Royals are going to be hard to beat. And that's where they are right now. And it's just, it's so much fun to watch. And such a ridiculously welcome surprise. Come on, the most optimistic of us were thinking, wow, is it possible with these new pitchers in here that the Royals could get to 81 wins and be a 500 team? Well, not now. Everybody I know is thinking 90 plus, win the division. That's what everybody's thinking. And that may be pie in the sky. But I'll tell you what I'm seeing right now is a team that can do it. What they're doing is repeatable. That's the key word with the Royals. It's repeatable. What they're doing is repeatable. If you stay healthy, your good pitchers will pitch well, and your good hitters will hit well. That will happen. And the more you play, the more odds are in your favor. When you have good pitching and good hitting, and oh, by the way, there is a metric that says the Royals are the best defensive team in the American League too. My eyeballs haven't told me that yet this year, but I believe in the metrics for now. I'll believe in that. I think they have a good defense. I'm not saying they don't. The best defense in all of baseball or all of the American League, my eyeballs have not told me that yet. I'll keep watching for it now that I see that the statistics say they're number one in defense. So if you're number one in pitching and you're number one in defense and you've got 5 games out of 17 where you've scored 10 runs or more, you're on your way to something pretty good. That's your Royals. What are the Chiefs on for? I don't know. The Chiefs have made public statements now as off-season program has kicked into gear. You know what the off-season program is right now? It's Zoom calls with players. Now, Patrick Mahomes is working with all his receivers. He does this religiously. They're all in Texas for the most part doing this. Sometimes it's here. Sometimes it's Texas. He's been working some with Rashee Rice. One report yesterday says Rashee Rice is being sued for $10 million in damages from occupants of a vehicle that he and Teddy Knox crashed up in that accident a few weeks ago. Andy Reid was asked really pretty much on the record for the first time about this, and he has given the official team company line, which I predicted so spot on, that we'll wait for the legal process to play out and we'll go from there. Translation, Rashee Rice is going to be on our team. We'll deal with an NFL suspension, but Rashee Rice, we are not letting, he is too good a player for us to let go. Too good a player. A little pot in the car. It's paraphernalia. Driving 130 miles an hour. Smash some people up. Well, you know. Andy says, quote, as long as he's learned from it, that's the important part, unquote. And you'll have to bear a minute or two for me to tolerate my stance that there's not a whole lot more unsettling for me than to hear Andy Reid say that about a criminal. When Andy Reid says of someone, whether it's in his family or on his football team, and we have seen the complete lack of remorse, change in anyone really affiliated with Andy, they just, you know, Frank Clark, second gun felony with Frank Clark. Okay, we'll let the contract pay out and then he's gone. We see this. And for Andy Reid, it's just never good for him to say this. I don't know why somebody in his circle doesn't tell him. He either needs to no comment or say something tougher or whatever. But that thing could have been deadly. That could have just been awful. And for Andy Reid to say, as long as he's learned from it, that's the important part. I'm not even disagreeing with the comment. I don't disagree with that. I think the most important part now that everybody is healthy and okay is that Rashee Rice learns from this and never does anything that stupid again. I think that is very important. I'm not even disagreeing with Andy saying this. I'm just saying Andy saying it, I mean, come on. It rings hollow. It doesn't mean anything. It's just platitudes. It's him saying what he thinks he's supposed to say. Because Andy Reid only cares about one thing. How many games is my wide receiver suspended, and how does that affect the draft next week? Because I may need to draft a wide receiver with my first pick now because I may lose Rashee Rice for 8 games or something like that. There's no real way to know how many games it will be. But let's be honest. If Andy Reid really wanted to say something, We'll let the legal system decide what goes on here. If he's not in jail, he'll play for us. That's what I want to hear Andy say. If they don't lock him up, he's playing. Just step up to the microphone and say it. All right, we're disappointed in him. We got people counseling him. We're trying to make sure he's not a dumbass the rest of his life. But if he's not locked up, he's playing football here. And I'm not talking about this again. I would respect that so much more than, well, as long as he's learned from it, that's the important part. Well, here's a sad one, and it's a little personal in nature. This is a man that I have known since college, my freshman year of college, 1982. We are not really close anymore. We have no issues, just different career paths, different cities, moved apart, whatever. But in 1982, I decided to go to Kansas State University because it was the only place I could find that would allow me to broadcast on the radio station as a freshman. A lot of the other journalism programs around, you had to get 2 years in, get all your regular credits behind you, and then start in journalism. K-State, you could start early. And if you were good enough, you'd get on the radio right away. And I was pretty sure I was good enough. I had done some broadcasting stuff in high school. I had plenty of tapes and recordings. I'd been recording stuff since I was 7 years old. I felt like I was ready for this. And I got to college, and I was lucky to be around two or three other broadcasters that I thought were talented and fun to work with and pretty good guys. And one that I immediately spotted as great and said, I want to work with this guy every second of every day that I'm here. And he is the voice of the Nebraska Cornhuskers, Greg Sharp. He was the voice of Kansas State for a while. And then when they had a station change, he left and took the job at Nebraska. He's been there forever. He is one of the finest men you'll ever meet. He is a sensational play-by-play broadcaster. And he is just a pro in every sense of the word. And yesterday he recorded as part of his show. He does the play-by-play and then he does a Husker show and they stream it. So there's some video elements to this too. He says, I want to finish up here the last 3 or 4 minutes of the broadcast talking about my least favorite subject, and that's me. And so you knew what was coming. And Greg Sharp told his audience that he has cancer. He says he's known for a few weeks. He has not felt well for a couple of months. And he says he will not get into specifics of the nature, but he said it's pancreatic in nature. And your heart just sinks when you hear that. And it's very difficult to watch. I have not reached out to Greg yet, but I will. He is going to be overwhelmed for quite some time hearing from people. And it's not that when you haven't, you know, texted a guy or called a guy in 5 years, it's not the time to do it right now. Let the people closest to him do that. I told Jessica, because she doesn't know Greg, I said, I've got tapes somewhere in a box, and I'm going to find them, of us doing, we did Manhattan High football and basketball games. We did the Kansas State baseball games. We traveled around the Big 8 in my 74 Firebird. We'd go to Stillwater and call the games, and it was just so much fun. And I knew how good he was and how talented he was, and we'd always switch off. He would do play-by-play the first half. I'd be the analyst, then we'd switch and do it the other way in the second half, depending on the game, or we'd alternate innings. And it fit like a glove when we did it. And I thought for a while, and pretty much everyone at K-State wanted me to be a play-by-play guy. And I said, you know, I love doing it. I love calling the games. But I just felt like I'm not sure. I loved the Royals at that time so much. You know, they're winning the 85 World Series, right? I love baseball so much. I thought all I wanted to be was Denny Matthews. I could go be the Royals announcer. But if I was the announcer of something else, like, if I went and was the Wichita Wranglers or something at that time, if I had a minor league job, I was the voice of the Wichita Wranglers, how into it could I be? If you really don't care or know the team or whatever, I've always felt like it would be very hard for me to be a broadcaster for a team or to be attached with a team. And so I chose at that time not to go that direction. And Greg did. And Greg is great at it. I mean, he is really, truly great at it. He is a very good traditional announcer. He's just fantastic. And he could have left Nebraska. He could be doing all kinds of things on a national level. Greg Sharp's outstanding. He's really, really good. And I guess in some way, if you know him or whatever, I want him to know that we're all thinking about him. And if you don't know who he is, just Google it. I'm sure he's got some great calls there. And his video yesterday is touching. And Greg, we are thinking of you and praying for you, buddy. And we're there for you. Our final day is brought to you by North Kansas City Dental, online at nkcdental.com. Dr. Bill Bush is an award-winning dentist. I was supposed to be at Dr. Bush's today, but I knew it was like an 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock appointment the day after we were flying home on a Monday night where we weren't going to land until 10, and if there's going to be like a two-hour delay on the flight, which happens a lot, I was like, nope, I'm pushing that one back. So they rescheduled me for next month. They're so easy to work with at North Kansas City Dental. They're just great. And when you're there, give a shout-out to Dr. Anna. Ask for Dr. Anna at North Kansas City Dental. Her parents are patrons of KKHI. Dr. Anna Everson is one of the fine dentists at North Kansas City Dental. They've got a whole slew of them. You can pick your own dentist. It could be Dr. Bush or any of the others. I may request Dr. Anna when I go in for my six-month, although Dr. Bush likes to see me. We'll see what happens. NKCDental.com. Earth Effects Outdoors, your new landscaping company, online at eeoutdoor.com. Whether it's spring cleanup right now or it's finally time to pull the trigger on some lighting, landscape lighting around the front of your property or around the back, it makes your house look so much more beautiful. It's also great for security. The bad guys don't like walking around landscape lighting. They know your Ring cameras can see them. They don't like that stuff. It costs nothing to run, by the way. This stuff is low voltage. Don't ever worry about your electrical bill. You can just run. My neighbor never turns his stuff off. Like, everything on the outside of his house is on all night. This stuff doesn't use any energy anymore. It's just amazing. Earth Effects Outdoor would love to set you up this spring. eeoutdoor.com. And Amazing Garage Floors is online at amazinggaragefloors.net. Just call John or Heather at 913-901-7139. I just keep saying it. You know you want this garage floor. You've thought about this for 2 years and you have not pulled the trigger. What are you waiting for? This is your year. Just find out how much it costs. Save your money up. Let's go. Budget for it. AmazingGarageFloors.net. Our final is Mark Cuban. I think Mark Cuban leads our finals. I think this is probably the fifth time Mark Cuban's been our final. This time, in response to online trolling that got to him, like a gazillion people were like, oh, it's April 15th, a reminder of the day that billionaire Mark Cuban complained about Trump's tax cuts and said it wasn't fair that the wealthy don't pay enough, and remind everybody that Mark Cuban is not going to be adding any additional money to the taxes he pays, because he could. Like, if his taxes came down 3% under Trump, he could add 3% to what he owes and send that to the federal government. They'll cash the check. And they just went all over this guy. Mark Cuban said, I'm a proud American. I'm proud to be wiring today $288 million to the federal government. I pay what I owe. And then he got clobbered more, because that isn't the point. You pay what you owe because of the Trump tax cut. And you blasted it, saying it was unfair and it needed to be more from rich people. Well, put more in. This is how hypocritical people on the left are, or just Trump haters. I don't think Cuban's all that far left. At one point in time, he had a pretty reasonable system for the entire deal to pare down the size of the federal government and get it to where it costs about a third of what it costs now to run and operate. He had some great ideas that seemed very conservative to me. But then he didn't like Donald Trump, because Donald Trump is a more famous billionaire than Mark Cuban. And apparently the billionaires are a little pissy like that. And so he goes after Trump, and he went after the tax cuts. And on tax day, people go crazy against Mark Cuban that you don't pay extra. I will say $288 million is a lot of money. That's not a billionaire escaping taxes. And I'm sure it's what he owes. But if he, you know, knuckled this thing down to something like 8%, he should double that. He should just go ahead and pay $500 million and $600 million. Just add in $100 million, Mark, and you're covered. Then you can Bash Trump tax cuts all you want. Add another 100 million and keep bashing Trump. Put your money where your mouth is, if that's going to be your complaint. Mark Cuban, our final today, at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Kevin Keatsman Has Issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media, Incorporated.